Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And then there looks like it'd be a tail drag mark. When you pull back, one of the pictures is a pullback of that. That was in the middle of her backyard. And you see there are no footprints going up to it, and no front, you know, there is snow. There's no footprints coming away from it. Well, how did that happen?
Researcher Gary Hart has focused on areas where Sasquatch has been sighted. He's also investigated portals and other places where anomalous experiences have been reported. We'll talk about Gary's personal experiences. We're not done with Sasquatch. Part 2 with the Sasquatch Whisperer.
In terms of saying it can be right beside you, I went for a walk. It's been a few years ago, but there is a place in my neighborhood where I saw something that made absolutely no sense. I had the dog with me. I'm looking at a certain tree, and I'm watching as squirrels, more than I can count, are coming down from the tree to the ground, across the street, and disappearing down a well. It's like, to me, I would call it a wishing well. It's very picturesque. Yeah. And so I'm watching them. The dog makes no response. She's completely not either paying attention or not aware. There's no one else. I'm out in the middle of the day and I don't see anybody else. I'm trying to put my hand up to see how many squirrels I can count in the distance, the width of my hand, because after 25, and they're fast. They're moving.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm watching them all disappear into the ground where that. And I'm thinking, and it took, I mean, like, what the heck did I just, so I know there's a portal there, but I also know that it doesn't necessarily mean that that space is always open.
Portals are interim, the ones that I've seen.
But it was like, oh my gosh, I'm witnessing this broad daylight. If I tell anybody about this, they're going to think I'm crazy, but I know what I saw.
Well, that's objective proof. You prove it to yourself.
Yeah.
Now, objective proof is a level of proof where you can theoretically proved to other people, but I just don't even care about that. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. But if a person wants to learn more about this because they hear it from different sources or part of the story, then they can prove it to themselves. I can definitely give people tips on how to approach it and give them an opportunity to test it for themselves. I was working in a place near the Mississippi River, near Cape Girardeau, and that ties into a Piedmont when it was investigated by this professor in Southeast Missouri University back in 73. And then the UFO sightings started to occur near his house in Cape Girardeau. And in fact, many people didn't know something about that situation. He got just fed up because he was treated very poorly by radio stations and other things. I sincerely wish he was one of the first people that really got involved in studying and determining that of all the sightings he had in the Piedmont area for a number of months afterwards, and for actually 10 years after that, he saw UFOs in front of his own house, in the building, strange things happening in the building where he was working in the university, and he saw balls of light in his house. So he had, and doing statistical calculations, he was able to calculate that 20% of the sightings reacted to him as a living thing. Like when the Nikita mic or something, all of a sudden something would disappear. And then he had a number of different types of sightings. One of them was most significant was when you're just looking up the sky, you're not focusing on it necessarily. You see a light move off a star and a constellation up above you. I've seen that before.
Yeah,
I've seen that similar situation several times before now. And that's a bizarre. You see a light move off the star. And in my case, it was hiding behind a tree. I could see it through the tree for a while. It was like an evergreen. And then I didn't see it anymore. So I moved to the side until I could see it through that tree again. And did that several times. And then it went up in the sky and literally started bouncing around in the sky, changing colors at the same time. And I have video of that. Initially, when the sequence of events started with my seeing orbs in front of me, more orbs than I can count. So there must have been at least 100 of them in different colors. And they would be blinking at me And when I looked at them, each one individually, it would stop blinking and fly into a nearby tree. And they were reacting to what they were sensing from my mind, as if they were taking an idea in my mind and then actually making it real, acting it out.
I remember taking a picture of a red star and I'm taking the picture. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, it's a planet, whatever. It's a red star in the sky. And then it started doing squiggles.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, whoa. Now, of course, I can't show that on my camera. It just looks like a squiggle. I know it wasn't moving.
Yeah.
And so
I've managed to get several videos, a minute or so videos. And what you see is it's like a changing color, bands of different color. So that when the shutter was open in the video, you could actually see the colors changing very rapidly, very bright colors.
Mm-hmm.
So that was proof. I mean, that's a proof of a
video. I would love to see that.
Yes.
You have a copy anywhere?
I can make a copy. I can send you one. I can't do it right away.
Oh, that's fine. I would love to post it and share it. Because that would be...
Well, you're the first person that would want to see it. I've shown it to several other colleagues, but you're the first person that has requested to see it. And yes, I can send you a copy.
Oh, that'd be excellent. Yeah. Well, see, some of these things...
It's going to take me a little while to access it. But think I'm going to remember. I'm going to write it down so that I can send it to you. And it's remarkable.
Yeah.
It really is absolute proof, at least as far as I can consider it.
Not everybody can take the pictures, okay? The criticism is, well, why didn't you take a picture? I will tell you, when it happens, you are so blown away sometimes, like when I saw the squirrels and I didn't have a camera. But even then, I don't know if I would be functional to take the picture because my mind was trying to wrap itself around the fact that I saw more squirrels than I could possibly count running down the tree, not up, and across the street.
Something's going on and you don't know what it is.
No. It's like, what? And is it really a squirrel? Is that what I was seeing?
Yeah.
And it was just, and so I'm walking home going, what the heck?
I was at the same location when a MUFON investigator at Marley Woods. I don't know if you know that situation.
Uh-huh.
I was there. He didn't want to work with me or the woman that I was, Joanne Scarpellini, who was also an investigator. We were both investigators, and MUFON kind of denied our existence because they were shoveling all their incoming cases to this other person. The other person, on one of his first occasions at Marley Woods location, when he saw something in the sky, he had a camera in his hand. Yeah, I heard the story was his mouth was open. His mouth fell open.
I know.
And he didn't take a picture. I didn't do a video.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But
you're not prepared for it. Technically, like when
first
it first...
The first time I saw something like that, my mouth was open too. And then I determined, okay, I'm going to make every effort to either get a video or a picture.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I've still seen a lot of things that I haven't taken pictures or video of, but that I have done that for some. And that's when it really proves to yourself, just absolute, without a doubt. And it should prove something to other people.
Yeah.
Because I can say, here are the conditions that I took the picture or the video. And know all of those conditions.
Even then, it's really a challenge for people. Oh, you could have somehow faked it. You know, that until they're ready, then
exactly. That's not an open mind when somebody says that.
Yeah.
You have to have an open mind. And at the very least, you have to say, okay, that could actually happen given the situation. Don't accept my word for it. Go out and see for yourself. Look for these particular characteristics for the right location where more things are happening at certain locations and you have a higher percentage of seeing things. That's exactly what I did because I was a member of MUFON at that time. I've been a member of MUFON 4 different times and I was so disappointed what they were doing because they weren't doing the right thing in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go out on my own and prove it to myself and I did. Almost immediately I started talking to people around study groups. The best way I can term it at this point, I believe most of us were MUFON members. And we were going out, we talked about what, and then I found out about places where things were going on. And we went there and we saw things. And I thought, well, that's amazing that you can even prove how strange things are. And then it just continued on from there.
There's also a change because for a long time, it was they only wanted to document things that they could possibly have a nuts and bolts reality for.
Yes.
And in the process, they overlooked the paranormal.
Ones.
they overlooked anything paranormal and said,
absolutely. Well, I figured because it was like, if you don't throw away 90% of your data, or half of it even, you don't throw away your data. And I consider the Sasquatch to be the same as ETs. I can't tell the difference between the two. I just know that there's a lot of things going on that I can't fully explain even now, but I know what to study to find out more. And they're just like us. They really are.
There's a protection element, too. If you are not ready and you go into a space where you are in danger and you don't know it, then it's like when Orville's talked about at one point they threw something at him to get him to move from the space. And he was like, oh, my gosh. And Orville isn't easily discouraged when he's got his mind set on doing something.
They've done the same thing for me there. When I heard them going down this gravel road past the stage at the whatever you call it, the stage building, I didn't see anything. But then they went to one of the openings across where I was. It was at the door, the steel door frame that was on the south side, I think, yes. And I heard them there, like the juveniles, apparently. And then they went to the other side near and stood near a steel door frame. I heard a rock fly through the air. Now, I wouldn't have even expected to hear it, but I heard it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, it's coming toward me. Well, it got to me, and I heard a voice in my head, stand still.
Yes.
And I did.
Yeah.
And it zoomed past me and hit the steel door frame, broke into several pieces, seven, actually. And I actually picked them up and have them at home. And my safety was in their hands. That's where they were trusting me to trust them.
Yes. We were sitting on the stage, and there were rocks that were landed behind us. Okay, so how they got through and around, but they landed behind us. The other thing was when, back when Orville had that thing thrown at him, they were trying to warn him to stay. That area the next day had exploded with all of the crystals in that spot, but he was trying to go into that area, and he was warned away by something large being thrown at him. And it wasn't intending to hurt him. Same thing. It was like, okay, this isn't, you don't want to be here.
Yeah, they throw near you. I have actually heard where a little pebble hit a woman in a certain situation, but that's the only time I've ever heard where a rock of any size hit somebody. Mm-hmm. And I've heard of a case where a person had a rock thrown near him, and it landed right in front of their foot, like an inch in front of their foot. It's that precise, even in the dark.
That's my thought. They know what they're doing. They know it's
oh,
that.
Oh, yes.
Well, if you look at the Qigong, the way there's some of the masters, there's one of the videos I've seen where he's able to influence with his energy another person. Mm-hmm. And what he describes it, how he describes the way that it works, he has set his intention beyond, like about 15 feet beyond where he's actually contacting the person. And that's the way he works his chi. And so when you're, you know, these are ancient practices, working with meridians, working with your energy, that we actually have access to doing, to learning, to knowing, that we've forgotten.
You heard the old stories of some group of people, I don't know where, India maybe, or they get together and they chant and cause stones to levitate.
That would make some sound. Yeah, vibration. Again. Yes. Frequency. Yeah,
and what they found on the Skinwalker Ranch, they had a drum circle below one of the mesas there, an area, the eastern canyon. And when they did that, with the infrared camera trained on the area, it would start glowing hotter on this rock formation at the top of the mesa, which is, I don't know, maybe 150, at least 150 feet vertically upward. And then they saw orbs that went into the mesa just there at that same position. So it actually had an effect, and they measured the frequencies around 100 hertz or something like that. But it can get very technical, but it was sound. The world in that area was reacting to the sound. So in a sense, they were proving you can do that.
Yeah.
And they've also had another episode where they had a person said they heard what sounded like chimes at three different nearby frequencies, and that was right before they saw lights appearing, like orbs, some distance away from the observer. Those two situations proved to me that that works. And I never knew where that works or not. I mean, you have to set up a good experiment, but what they had set up at Skinwalker proved it. And that's so you can get proof in a number of different ways. Even what you say, I'm listening and I'm taking it into account. So if I get out of noise, I can test it. You can come up with proof for sure.
When you recommend people, even though, you know, you don't have to go anywhere, but the first contact usually is on site somewhere.
Yes.
What would you suggest?
Things are easiest to happen. And I say that, and what was your question?
Where would you suggest for someone who is curious and open, what would you suggest?
In the national forest, at least in the national forest. But look at, I have used in the past the MUFON database. You know, you say it's messed up right now, but I've used their database to figure out how many sightings are around, reported around certain areas, and then go there.
Okay.
And then I know of locations whose history is having a large number of sightings at some point in their history. You have to do some analysis, or it helps to do some analysis. And recently I've been talking to somebody that has seen the UFOs and other things, orbs, near Cape Girardeau, and I was getting into that. I'm following it up to some extent, or as best I can at this point. That's what you look for. You look for a cluster of UFO sightings. You will have Sasquatch there every time. Orville and his friend sent the Sasquatch inside the portal.
Yeah.
In the case of Orville, he had quite an experience. I know what it is. And his friend experienced Sasquatch keeping his friend from going further in. He's protective of his mental state because he wasn't ready for it. Mm-hmm. The second person wasn't ready for it. So they care about you.
Yeah.
Well, but they also care about every other living thing on the planet.
I also talked to Orville about that experience, and he said that the people, the human-like people that he saw that were taller, they told him,
yeah,
you're not supposed to be here.
And yeah,
he's like, and so then he got to escort it back out. But I thought, I asked him, yeah, Orville, would you go back in a heartbeat? Yeah,
yeah, because it's a wild state. I have not had that experience, but I can imagine based upon his description.
Yeah,
it's a wild place. It's not something you would ever expect. That's why you have to leave yourself open for it.
Yeah. And I think because you're in a different dimension, so it takes, he was just kind of a little discombobulated, as the word I'll use.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's a different dimension. And so our chemistry, everything, our senses aren't in sync with that reality, that level of awareness. And so I think that was part of it, because Cheryl said that when she first talked to him, she thought he started drinking again. I was like, okay. And so he wasn't quite, you know, coherent because he was so high. Yeah. And so, you know, completely.
How do you describe it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That people will understand.
Yeah.
You can experience it, but just trying to describe it, because it requires words that we don't even have.
No, no.
Almost.
At least my experience with squirrels was describable.
Yes. But everything that happens now, I think about it, I pay attention to it, I remember it.
Yes.
I add to my list of ways of dealing with things. It just changes you totally.
Well, or even the time of day, other things that are going on. Okay, it's the time of day. What was the weather like? What was, you know, was it a full moon? What had I eaten? Was I, all these kinds of things. What did I have? What was happening around me? What was my mood? Were the animals responding? And you know, there's just so much going on that we don't even think about. And you really have to be more of a scientist to research it and add more of the variables that could possibly be a clue into where these other places are.
Yes. Now, when I was at Marley Woods, I was allowed to stay there for like a week at a time in a little cabin that was there. And I was told stories about how the ground would light up every so often in certain areas of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was there at board camp, I'm not sure if I saw it. It's kind of a real subtle effect. Definitely, I did see it when the sky lit up, seemingly not from anybody else illuminating it from a distance, but the ground lit up. I've seen it in pictures also. The ground lit up or can light up at different times. So that's what I'm looking for, is a picture or video of the ground lighting up. There are several other places where the ground is lit up. That's unusual, just when you find out about it. That's unusual in itself. So you track down, that's the sort of information you track down.
Are there any projects that you're doing, researching right now? Any interesting places?
I'm watching the Skinwalker show. Because I have bought a piece of equipment that they're using on the show, a partial spectrum analyzer, the size of a pack of cigarettes. Now, I got a big one at home, but I wanted the smaller one because I didn't want to carry a camera and a tri-field meter. And my understanding is spectrum analyzer would actually capture the 1.6 gigahertz signal, which is in a space frequency band, which there isn't supposed to be any signal there at all. And the 1.2 gigahertz signal that comes up on occasion there after they tried to transmit that tone as a reference for the 1.6 gigahertz signal that turns on when activity is ready to occur or is actually occurring. And you don't see it, or you don't notice it. Mm. But it's also spread, and they said this last time, the show last week, that it spreads this RF frequencies around across the whole spectrum, which is an odd thing. I've never heard of that before. But then again, I've also not heard of anybody being allowed to be in an area where the Skeswatcher were hunting, and that's what was happening in Salem at this house at the edge of the town. And then I had somebody say, it just floored me that I was seeing something, experiencing something that I had not heard of anywhere. So it can be extremely personal, extremely important, and it really grabs your attention if you're really paying attention to it. But I've been having experiences with the sculptures around St. Louis. I mean, that's how close it is to a large number of people.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
You're saying they're hunting. What are they hunting?
Deer. There was a field adjacent to this little patch of woods in the back of his yard, and there's a adjacent field, and you could hear whoops as they were trying to scare or guide the deer into that little area with a table of food, a pond about 2 feet by 3 feet, and spring water coming out of the ground. So it was a perfect place.
Okay.
Now, they didn't do that, which is surprising. Well, I can imagine why deer wouldn't want to do that, but if they smelled anything, but they were trying to. I could hear all the features of the hunt. There were like 4 of them that were appeared to be, or seemed to be, because I couldn't see anything, to be in the deer blind, watching. And it was such that they could walk out of the deer blind and walk right up to a deer if the deer walked past the deer blind, because there was a path past it. And then they had the tunnel from that, a woven tunnel over to the fence so they could actually come up near the food. Clever, really clever. It's so obvious when you look at it and see it. But I was respectful and I just barely touched anything. So a stick that somebody would likely hit and knock off that was hanging there, just a very small stick. So it was like a detector of anybody messing around with their construction.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really clever in a number of different ways. But what the kicker was that we saw a raccoon come through the fence. It's one of these fences that had large squares, large woven squares. And we saw, just barely in the dark, a raccoon come through the fence. And he looked up at us and decided, okay, I'm going to go the other way. So he went to the left. And what he did was, within maybe 15 feet or so, he walked into a darker area I'd seen something move from left to right. What do you call that? I could see there's enough light that it was blocking the light enough to see that when it went white, light and dark, something was back there weaving from side to side. And you've heard that before, I'm sure. So he was proving that under that situation that worked also. Who went back past him, he grabbed it. Well, I had enough proof at that point. I mean, I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't need anything more. But what I heard was a crack as he bent the head back of the raccoon. I know it sounds kind of gory, but it's not. I did not react in an emotional way. I understood this is part of their food. And it proved to be, when I heard the sound of the Sasquatch and the raccoon interacting, and it's like, okay, I didn't need that, but if a Squatch needed it, that's normal. The whole thing just fit together, like a perfect puzzle.
Okay, so the raccoon you didn't see after that?
Right, it was gone.
Okay, just,
it was their dessert.
Didn't leave any extras. Okay.
No.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Of course, didn't look for it, and I didn't come back the next day, but to hear it.
Yeah.
Be dessert for the Sasquatch or the Sasquatch family, because they have families, they have family units, and then have other experiences since then in all different directions. I know the whole story.
And years ago.
Just fascinating.
I interviewed somebody years ago, and the Trapper John was his name, and he had a recipe for raccoon. Okay, so it's not like this is... it's old school Trapper John recipe for raccoon. I might even still have the book, but it's survival.
Yes, so, yes.
I don't
have a right to survive just like everybody else.
Yeah,
and they respect if they take a deer that can last them a week, their family unit a week, and they are respectful of the deer as being a life, something of an animal that gave their life for the Sasquatch to exist. So I've seen so many different sculptures that I'm just fascinated. It's a whole new world. It opens up a whole new world of living beings and how they interact. And they're like a mentor in how to interact with all life forms, other life forms. In fact, I grew up as a Christian, and I've gone through several spiritual teachings, but I've come up with my own, and it's not a teaching of sorts, but it's a description. I am allegiant to the force of life itself, and that bypasses other humans. To me, that makes a lot more sense.
Well, it opens you up to the animal world, the insect kingdom, the plant, the whole nine yards, everything
everywhere
here.
There is life. Yes.
Yeah. So it's just a different, it's more inclusive experience.
Yes.
See, that message I got from Sasquatch was the quiet mind, open heart. That speaks to a broad range of experiences, you know?
Exactly.
So I appreciate, there's just so much to learn. And again, when somebody's had a firsthand experience, it changes your world. It just, it blows your mind.
It does, yes.
So
I like people to think about what they've experienced and how different it is. It's amazing. It's something in my form of life. It's understanding it and seeing how that extends to other forms of life. And that goes across the universe. So you're respectful of other forms of life and you're protective, which would change everything that happens here on this planet if people would get to that point. It's going to be a while, but I was offered the chance to give a talk at Piedmont UFO Get Together at the end of April. And it took me a couple of months to pull together from my notes of the information to make it have a talk. And I got a standing ovation from the small group who listened to it, because it really explores people's own experiences and says, I'm here, I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to help you if possible. And when you're interacting with me, you're helping me. It's a collective, and it's interactive.
Yeah. Well, we share our stories,
it's
and each person,
of everybody.
Yeah, each person has something to bring to the table, and that's what I think is so fabulous about
puzzle.
It.
It's a puzzle that takes everybody. Everybody's with their individual piece to make a perfect puzzle, perfect picture of what's going on.
Are you able to connect with anybody social media?
I don't. I do connect using social media, but I'm not in a group. I don't have my own group. I don't care to write things. I'd rather deal with people one-on-one. In fact, the woman and her sister that I'm working with now is new. She approached me at the end of my talk, and she showed me pictures that I had showed on a personal level, pictures with her, and they're very similar to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I want to know how to see them. And I said, well, they don't particularly think it's important to see them because they have security they have to have. But there are other ways of interacting with them, and I've got some tips for you. And that's what we've been doing. We've been talking back and forth. But I don't like being in groups, though I am one now. I don't like being in groups because you get naysayers in the group. And in fact, when I first joined this particular group, it's a swamp ape group in Florida, because they were talking about the sort of things we've been talking about. I thought, okay, this is an advanced group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got in there, and the first thing I saw was somebody had an experience, and another person got on and said, you're a liar.
Oh, boy.
Well, I've had that happen before.
Yeah.
And that's not the right response. And they talked him down. The liar talked the person that was saying that. They talked him down. So, in a sense, they were supporting the person with the experience.
Yeah.
And I've been a member of that now for several months. So that's the only exposure to media that I've had, because I've had bad experiences other than that. I know a lot more things going on, and I don't need it. I don't need the negativity that often pops up in a group like that.
Well, it's still part of the thing of, you know, right now people are still new to this topic, especially Sasquatch. Yes. Is like the one step beyond UFOs, okay?
Yes.
It's like, yes. UFOs a challenge, and then Sasquatch, oh no, not ready, not yet. Yeah, I tell you what, once you have the experience, it's like, wow, I wish I was open sooner, because this is, there's nothing wrong.
Yes, and
you
see how it actually connects with the other aspects of the paranormal spectrum. But like I say, like MUFON, I've been a member of MUFON for four different times, and I'm not now, because I thought, originally the first time I left was because I was having to deal with a person that was dealing from the board that was dealing with everybody, abductees, in an unethical way. And it continued. In the second time, I decided to join again to see if any changes had occurred. And then it was the Bigelow situation, where he bought into their database. And for money, they basically sold their information. Mm-hmm. And he started doing things that were unethical, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happened a couple other times. So I'm not a member of MUFON. Never will be ever again. But I was a member four different times. And I was disgusted each time.
Well, I still think, in terms of gathering information, if, you know, making a report at least adds to the documentation of, okay, this is a sighting location, and you take it for what it's worth. At least you've got some kind of a track record.
Yeah, very interesting information. But I had said years ago, around 2000 is when a lot of things happened. I said, I have a permanent research station somewhere in Missouri, at least. Because there are places where I could suggest where they could set something up. Like they have in Estland, Norway. They have a radar unit and spectrum analyzers and cameras that record sightings in the area when people are not there.
Mm-hmm.
They have shown how you can do something like that and document things with equipment automatically. MUFON didn't care to do that. Why not? That'd be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
How can you not do that? Because it would take a minimum amount of money, and they just ignored it. Like Skinwalker, what they're doing, that's a lot of money invested, but they're really getting the bottom of things in a scientific manner.
They've got funding.
I really am impressed.
Okay, they've got funding. Yes. So
they have generated funding, yes.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
But they could, MUFON could have done this a long time ago, decades ago, but they have chose not to. It's a choice. They chose not to. And that's why I think they've been infiltrated by the government. Even with a place where so many things have happened, even now at Piedmont, Missouri, there have been government activity on three separate occasions. The first time starting when they had a flap, and the first pictures were taken by a teacher in a local high school. Well, the government showed up right away, and they stole her necktapes. There were a couple of guys, one was dressed in a tan suit, another guy that was apparently a military person dressed in black. Well, the guy in the tan suit knocked on the door, and the woman opened the door, and the guy in the black, he rushed past her and then searched for the, and grabbed the negatives, stole them. And they've been, there's a heavy duty case in that area since then. And the government has been harassed this woman and her son. And I have two articles, detailed articles about it. The son killed himself. It's like that situation happened out at White Sands years ago. Benowitz, who's driven crazy, literally crazy, by the government representatives. And what they're doing is the government allows private companies to do the research for them, and then they give them a plausible deniability and say, we don't know anything about this. Well, they do, but they're not the ones doing the work. These private companies are doing the work, and they can harass people just all nine yards. And that's sad, really, really sad when somebody gets harassed like that.
Yeah, it seems like that's been going on for decades. That same kind of thing is, yes, once somebody gets wind of something really interesting and unique, and then that other element makes it popular for the government for whatever reason, then yes, it gets complicated. We're going to avoid that with Sasquatch, okay?
I hope so. I hope so, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help them as much as I can. And yes, you can help them. I know a particular situation where I cleared some brush away so they could stay there overnight while they're moving from one place to another. And one of the people associated with a charlatan in Northern Illinois, he said, told me directly, you can't help them. Well, darn right you can. If you're sensitive enough, you can. And they really appreciate it, yes. It's amazing.
There's still two schools. One is that it is an ape-like creature that is here and we're going to shoot it. And the other is it's an interdimensional being that we're not going to shoot because we don't need to.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever talked to Ken Gerhart. One of the stories is that Ken Gerhart was with the Finding, I believe he was with the Finding Bigfoot people, and he saw some Sasquatch come through a portal over a gravel road. He saw them actually come through the portal period, and several Sasquatch came through it. Mm-hmm. And but he, I have not heard him talk about it since then. So if you talk to him privately, perhaps you'll hear something really important.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of people who have their experiences and they keep it to themselves because exactly what you said before. They don't want to deal with the naysayers. They know what they've experienced, and it's special. That's the thing. It is, once you have gone down that road, nobody can take it from you.
It's so valuable.
Yeah.
Yes, and then from that point onward, everything is special.
Yeah.
You look very carefully. In fact, the Sasquatch has said, be sensitive to everything around you. And I find that true. Yeah. You see things that you don't see before. You don't walk by it anymore. Yeah. All of a sudden, it catches your eye.
Yeah.
You might see how special it is.
You can see the glyph. You can see somebody left you a message, which is really cool.
Yes.
Really cool.
Yes. And that tells you a description of the world. If somebody can do that. I've actually seen a place where there are glyphs in a very small, a couple of feet tall at the most. And then further in that area, there are Native American marker trees. They're bent over and the branches are growing straight up. So the question is, who is first? The Sasquatch will say that they have been here longer than we have. And I believe that. So they're where the humanity came from, essentially, in my opinion, because they're so much like us. There's a reason for that. And I have so much. My first experience with them nearby, it affected that so much that I didn't even realize it could do that. But I had no fear whatsoever.
Well, and you're lucky too. Your wife is also acclimated and she's, you know, curious enough to be involved and have her own experience. That's very helpful when you've got a partner who also is on the same page.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. Yes. I wish that everybody could have the same experience. Or people can recognize their own experiences. as being something like that. I can, all I can do is speak for myself.
Well, I appreciate, thank you for being open about a lot of this too, because, you know, just the more we learn and share, the more we evolve.
Yes.
And then we become open to whatever might be out there that we haven't seen before. And that's when I went to board camp, that was a mind-opening, eye-opening experience.
Absolutely.
And I'm grateful that I was able to be there at that time. And it's just, you know, it's just continued to evolve since then.
Yes, and they had said that I had brought several plastic horses there for them, the Sasquatch, to play with, the juveniles or whatever, see what happens. And I brought some crystals, and there was one particular crystal that got moved around. He got turned. He moved from one table to another. Mm-hmm. When he couldn't see it. And this is an experience that Mark Wentz had. We became fast friends because Cheryl said, you know, there's this guy that's a scientist like you, it's up there in a hill digging crystals. So I went up there and talked with him, and ever since he's been a friend. So it extends friendships, like-minded people extend your friendship is extended. I can say the same thing for a number of people that I know now that I wouldn't have known otherwise. We have similar experiences. I will say also something about Skinwalker. They had an experience. Now, I'm a member of their insiders group. You pay money every year, and I think it's worthwhile to support what they're doing, so I don't mind the money at all. Mm-hmm. But we have had discussions a couple of days after an episode, and the last one was last week. They said, first of all, they've had so many experiences there that to make a show, it's Prometheus that does the editing, so they don't know when things will show, and some of the episodes have been out of sequence by their numerical designation. But there are some things that they have seen that they aren't on the show yet, and they don't exactly know if or when they're going to be on the show. But one of the things is they saw a strange bird. And it would be neat. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
They said they have game cameras in different parts of the property because it's a 512-acre property. And this bird flew over and landed on one of their game cameras and then bent it down and looked straight in the camera.
Wow.
But could not identify what kind of bird, what bird it was. And there's a biologist that's there that knows about every kind of animal. And I would guess with his help, they could not identify it. So it's something that came through the portal.
That'll be interesting if they let that one go on the air.
Oh, yes. And that's exactly what I see at this portal near St. Louis. I see all kinds of things. I see, and it represents what the portal is. It's all kinds of life forms from all everywhere. And everything looks different. It's surprising. One of the things is she's seen a Native American in her backyard at night. It's captured on her security cameras because they automatically alert and record the footage. That is an excellent way of doing things. And I'm working with cameras now to make portal cameras to do the same thing. They capture, it's like a game camera, only better, except it'll tell you, okay, I got this capture last night. Then you go through and look at it and see, and it's wild. Mm-hmm. It is wild. But there was a Native American in her backyard one time, and you see something that looks like a Native American with blankets all around. And she said, well, I saw that in my cameras. And then she said, I've seen that on my front porch also. And then another thing that I've seen was a picture that shows three footprints. And they're all, from what I could tell, they're all Sasquatch. And then there looks like a tail drag mark. And when you pull back, one of the pictures is a pullback of that. That was in the middle of her backyard. And you see there are no footprints going up to it and no front, you know, there is snow. There's no footprints coming away from it. Well, how did that happen?
Those are the best. It's like, okay, what the heck? What the heck's going on?
I don't have to know exactly how, but it's like, that's amazing.
Well, it can happen. It can happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. I see no limit at all. Rediscover our heritage. We knew this in the past. And that's what we need to do.
I'm ready.
I'm ready too. And I would like there to be an aspect of society that says people that don't want to believe in this or don't want to participate, that's okay. But people that do, that's okay too.
Yeah. Well, I do believe that the indigenous cultures, they are the communities, they are still aware and they still practice and they still talk about it. Yeah. They may not talk about it to wide groups and, you know, large circles, but it is a topic of conversation and awareness. And so I think that that part of it we need to allow instead of running the other way from it. You know,
they care about us, but they care about the whole planet too. More people are talking about it, so it gives you an end to talk with them about this, and then get them thinking at least. But if you decide to be an experiencer, a person that is involved in it, you get all kinds of learning. Everything is a learning experience. Everything. It makes your life worthwhile. And you're doing what they want, which actually gives you energy yourself. If you do the right thing, then it comes back. It comes back to you. I found that to be absolutely true.
It's a reflection. You're putting out that vibe and then it comes back. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it works. It's energy.
It's life itself is speaking with you.
So, okay. Any parting thought?
That's it right there.
We'll stay in touch.
Oh, please do. Please do.
Okay.
Thanks for talking with me. Yes.
The Sasquatch Whisperer, Gary Hart. If you missed part one, it's in the archives.
You and I connected for the first time in Mena, Arkansas at the Board Camp Crystal Mine. I'm just glad that you were there at the same time because it was like, okay, you'll know what I'm talking about.
The first time I was there, I saw something in the sky above the tree line. It was something, a craft blinking, doing S-curves in the sky above the tree line. And then another time, I believe in the latest time that I've been there, it's like 6 years ago before COVID, I saw a straight line, this thing, make a straight line right in front of, in the sky, looking straight out. And then something made a curved line right next to it. Well, that's not a meteor. They do straight lines. That's all.
Wow.
It's something else. Something else is communicating with me. That's the truth.
Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.